Good morning. Almost good afternoon already. But God is good, amen. Yes, we are talking about living in grace. Amen. Living in grace. Now, if you remember, the last time I preached about Titus 2, 11 and 12, where it says, "For the grace of God brings salvation. And it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live a self-controlled, upright and godly life in this present time." So last time I preached about what God brings to us when He says, "I'm going to pour out my grace over you." And then it goes on how we live our life in the grace of God, dealing with God and dealing with us. So this week I was impressed by God that this time, today, we're going to talk about what it means living in grace. And that means how we live and how we treat and how we communicate and deal with others. Amen? And that is the beauty of the Christian life, that we don't live for ourselves, we don't only live for our family, but we have a community here where we live together. Amen? We are one body, we are one church, we are one family here. So today we're going to look into Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 verses 30 to 37. And there it says, Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. Now a temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and he took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you next time when I'm here." Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, "The one who showed him mercy." Then Jesus said, "Yes, now go and do the same." Jesus said, "Yes, go and do the same." A different translation says, "Go and do likewise." Now when Jesus told this man, told the people who he was teaching, "You know what? You go and you do what this man did. It's important for us to learn what this man did right." Because obviously in this story, the man did something right. That's why Jesus said, "You follow this man's example." So what can we learn from the Good Samaritan? The first thing that we can learn is that he was compassionate. Now you have to understand the whole scenario. The Jews and the Samaritan hated each other. They considered themselves to be enemies. They did not want anything to do with one another. There was always fighting. There were always disagreements. So the Jews did not want anything to do with the Samaritans. And of course, in return, the Samaritan despised the Jews. And now in this story, there was a man robbed, lying at a road, and 2 of his own countrymen, Jews, passed him by. And not only countrymen, the spiritual elite, a priest, and one in the temple workers passed him by. But this Samaritan stopped and helped because he was compassionate. Verse 33, what we just read, said, "Then a despised Samaritan came along, and he saw the man, and he felt compassion for him." And I believe the first thing that we have to learn from this Samaritan that Jesus said, "Do likewise," is we have to be compassionate people. We have to have compassion. Now I am aware that we live in a cruel world. And very often we read news and constantly, we are bombarded with bad news. Or there was a break-in there. There was a robber there. There was a snatch thief who ripped somebody's handbag. The lady fell and broke his chin or jaw or whatever. So many stories we hear where bad things happen to good people. So it is very easy for us to be so influenced by the bad news that we say, you know what, in order for me to protect myself and my family, I will be very, very conscious, very cautious. And I'm not saying go around, be stupid, but I'm saying be careful when you meet strangers, but be compassionate. I believe we have to find a balance. We have to be compassionate people. We have to be people who are good to those who need help. We need to be people who are vigilant, yes, but who can offer our help to those in need, even if we don't know the person. Amen? Yes, vigilant. Yes, you have to be cautious. Yes, you don't want to be conned. You don't want to be taken advantage of. You don't want to be robbed. You don't want to be any of these things. But we have to remind ourselves that we have to be compassionate people. Amen? Compassion. It is easy for our hearts to grow cold because we hear all the bad news. But I believe it's time for us to say, you know what, God, I want to be compassionate. I don't want to be suspicious of everyone around. And just the other day, we were at the coffee shop having our breakfast, and there was this uncle coming by, old uncle, okay? Okay, now 60 plus is not that old, right? Sorry, not that old, okay? The uncle came by, and he started to smile at Carsten and talk to him, and right away, I was like, hey, what is this guy doing, huh? What is this uncle doing? And right away, I checked him out from top to bottom and make sure I'm not going to leave my eyes off of him. I'm not even going to turn to my soup, or my bowl of soup here, and I'm going to eat. I'm going to look and watch what he's going to do. And I was a bit paranoid to the point that you mistrust everyone who comes around who just wants to be friendly because you hear all the bad news. True or not? Can identify or not? So in this world that we live in and we are bombarded with all this news, we still have to find it in our heart to say, God, I want to be compassionate. Yes, I'm going to be vigilant. Yes, I'm going to watch my children like a hawk, but I still want to be compassionate and nice to people who just want to be nice also. Amen? So we live in a world where we have to remind ourselves to be compassionate. I remember when I was growing up in school, my class teacher, she was a woman and she was super strict. But she was married, obviously, to her husband, who was also a teacher at the same school, and he was the complete opposite. Now, I didn't have any classes with him, but because I was in his wife's class, he would always come by and talk to the students and all that. So he was a very nice guy. So after the 9th grade, I decided I'm going to switch school to a higher school so that I can, you know, further my education. So I switched school, which was very unusual. Usually you stick to the one that you started with and you start to learn a job and you become a worker or whatever. But I switched school. So this man, one of the days I was in a new school already, after a few weeks I got myself into the school, I found friends, no problem. But all of a sudden, a teacher came to my classroom and said, the principal wants to see you in his office. And I thought, oh my goodness, now what did I do wrong now? I mean, I've never been called to the principal's office, so obviously I must have done something wrong. So I went down to the principal's office, and then there was this teacher, Herr Finster, and he was there, and he said, you know what, Stefan, I just dropped by to see how you are doing. And I got a shock, because he wasn't even my class teacher. I had no subjects with this guy. I was his wife's student. But he came all the way, out of his way, to see how I was doing. And then we just sat down for a while, we chatted for a little while, And then he said, okay, I have to go back to the other school again. All the best, good luck. And I was so impressed that a teacher I didn't even have any subject with would come and see and follow up and see how I was doing. But it taught me a lesson. He was a compassionate man. He was a teacher who cared for students, and even though I was not even his student, but he cared enough to come and to inquire and ask how I was doing. And I was now getting a little bit older here. I'm saying, you know what? I want to be a man like that, who goes out of his way to be compassionate with people, who goes out of the daily routine to check up on people and say, you know what? You're doing okay or not? How are you today? Because I believe that is something that is missing in the world today. Everyone is so busy. Everyone is so preoccupied with job, with the family, with the things that we do, that very often the fellowship and the relationship that we have outside of work and outside of family fall a little bit short. And I believe that is one thing that we can learn from the Samaritan, where he say, you know what, God, I want to be compassionate. I want to go and do likewise. Another thing that we can learn from the Samaritan is that he went out of his way to help. He went out of his way to help. And this is in verse 34. And there it says, going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Now he was like the other one, probably on the other side of the road, was walking down his business, doing whatever he had to do, probably rushing to an appointment that he had. Then he saw someone lying on the other side of the road, maybe even dragged into the bushes away from the road. I mean, if you rob someone, they probably dragged him off to make sure that they can rob him everything and all that, and then they left him at the side of the road. The robbers, the bandits, lah. And so this man is walking on the road and sees someone at the side of the road, and he goes out of his way, going over to him, and he decides he's going to help this poor fella, even though Jews and Samaritans have nothing in common. Even though they despise each other, he still said, I am going over to him, to the other side, and I am going to help him. It is easy for us to be nice or to help people if it doesn't require much. True or not? It's easy for me to go to the petrol station, be nice to the guy who wants to help me pump the gas into my car, the petrol. It's easy for me to smile at him and be nice to him, because it doesn't require much. It just requires a smile and be a little bit friendly. Easy. But what about if you have to go out of your way to help somebody else? What if it means that you have to give up your Sunday afternoon nap? Nobody takes afternoon naps here. Sunday, huh? When I was a student in Bible school, that was my holy grail. The Sunday afternoon nap. That is what I lived for the entire week. It's like, okay, I just have to hold in here so that Sunday afternoon after church I can go back and have a nice nap. What if it requires me to give up something that is very important to me in order for me to help somebody in need? What if I have to give up my golf game with my friends in order to help somebody else out? How about I have to give up something that is important to me so that I can help somebody who needs my help? That is where really the heart shows. It's easy to be helpful if it doesn't require much. But what if it requires me to overlook years and years of hatred that our people shared, like these two had? Jews and Samaritans hated each other. It cost him a lot to go there and say, you know what, he's a Jew, but I'm still going to help him. He was willing to go out of his way, and it cost him a whole lot to overcome this kind of resistance in him to go and help. But that's why Jesus said, everyone who hears the story, go and do likewise. It is not easy to be helpful when it costs us something. But we have to come to a point and say, God, I want to look away from my own convenience, from my own interest, because I want to be a compassionate man. I want to be a compassionate woman who goes out of his or her way to help others in need. Amen? What did Jesus say? By the love for each other, they will notice them. Talking about his disciples. How will other people know that you are a disciple of God? By the love they have for each other. But I believe we have to go a step beyond that. Not only the love that we have for each other here in church, but in general love for people. If we follow the footsteps of the Good Samaritan, we have to become people who love other people. Not always looking for the worst in others, but giving them the benefit of a doubt. Giving them maybe more than what we think they deserve. Amen? Because we have received so much more from God. Amen? We have to go out of our way to show that we care for others. You know, there's the story that I read on the internet about a man who was watering the flowers in his front yard. Now, it was very early in the morning, the best time to go and water your plants. So he was watering the plants early in the morning, and he looked over to the neighbor's house across the street, and that neighbor boy, who was not old enough to drive, he was sneaking out of the house into the family's car, starting the car, wanting to drive off. Now, when he was driving off, the boy, who was barely tall enough to look over the steering wheel, lost control over the car and crashed into his fence and rolled over the fence of his front yard. Now, of course, the man went over and said, "Are you okay or not?" And the boy was a bit, he was obviously caught in doing something he was not supposed to do. He was not allowed to drive. But he did something wrong, so he was caught. Now the man could have had three choices. The first one is, he could call the police and he would be justified in doing so. I mean, after all, there is a small boy driving a car who has nothing to do behind the wheel, and he was driving and he could have killed someone. So better call the police, tell them before next time he's really going to hurt someone. He would be justified in doing that. The second choice that he could do is, he could go over and tell the parents and demand money to fix his fence. And he would be justified. I mean, after all, the boy had nothing to do driving, mows over his fence, crashes it in, totally tears it down. He has every right to go over, demand money to fix the fence. True or not? Justified. Or number three, he could choose to make the boy come over and help him fix the fence. So he and the boy together would fix the fence, and then after that, go and get some ice cream together with his own kids, and then later take him home and tell the parents what happened. And now, how did the story end? What did he choose? Call the police. No. It was a happy ending story. Maybe even made up. Probably made up. I don't know. Okay, so but the story goes on that he chose number three. That he made a boy come over, help him fix the fence, and then he took his own children and the boy out for ice cream. They had a good time, talked together, laughed together, had fellowship, went home, and because he was a responsible neighbor, he had to tell the parents, obviously. So then he went to the parents and said, "You know what, no big deal. He made a mistake, but he helped to fix it. But this is what happened." And then the story goes on that this boy later on became a judge. He studied law, became a judge, and now is well known to be a judge who is hard but fair. And among all, he has a reputation to look for opportunities where he can be merciful with people. Give them a little slack if the law allows it, if there is points for merit, that he can be gracious with people. Wow, nice story, right? I'm pretty sure it was made up, but it is nice to see that. You don't know how your mercy and grace that you meet other people will affect them. Maybe the way that you treat people with grace and mercy, you have no idea how it will affect them. Amen. Very often we don't get instant feedback of what we are doing to people, how it will affect them. But maybe years later down the road, then you can see how your action actually affected people. It goes the good way and it goes the bad way. If we mistreat people, maybe years later we meet them again and we see, oh my goodness, how I treated them was totally wrong. And it brought some scars into their life. But on the other hand, if we treat them with grace, mercy, respect and love, we have no idea how we can affect and impact other people's lives. Amen? We have to be compassionate people who go out of our way to help each other. Amen? So if I can help you, I have to be willing to go out of my way to give up some of my conveniences, of the things I like to do, so that I can be of help to you. Another thing that we can learn is that he prioritized the other needs over his own. He prioritized the other person's need over his own. Verse 34. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. He went out of his way to go over to help somebody who did not really deserve his help. I mean, after all, he could have said, you know what, you are a Jew, I am a Samaritan, let your own countrymen take care of you. I take care of my own, you make sure that your countrymen take care of your own countrymen. But he was willing to step out, go out of his way to help, and he prioritized the other person's need over his own. Now this goes hand in hand with the previous point that we talked about. He saw the need of his enemy as more important than his own need. Because I am sure he was not just out there going for a walk. Not like going for a walk around the lake, just strolling around nicely and then, oh, there's a guy who got robbed. Obviously it's a dangerous route. Obviously there are bandits. Obviously there are robbers out there. So if you are out there, you had a good reason to be there. You were probably rushing from one point to a next appointment and you had to go there. And because you had no other choice, you would make the way and hope that no robbers or bandits would come along your way. So he had probably a good reason why he was out there rushing from one place to the next. But he took time to step over, forget about his busy schedule, forget about the appointment that he had, to take care of this man. And it is not easy to take care of someone who is unconscious. Now just recently I called my parents and my dad was telling me a story. My parents, the house, they have two floors, because now it's only two of them. They rented out the upper floor as a separate apartment to foreign workers from Poland. So now the guys were there, and then one of the weekends they were invited to have a birthday party. So the three guys, the Polish guys, they went on their party, and my parents, like every night, went nicely to bed, and the next thing is my dad wakes up because there is a crazy noise outside. So he gets up, has no idea what's going on because we're living in the countryside, huh? 300 over people in the village. There's no noise at night. If there's any noise, something is wrong. Something is up, so you better go and check. So my dad went out of bed, went to check, and he found a guy lying on the floor, the ladder going up to the roof, to the balcony, and the other guy standing up there trying to balance. So he was like, what is going on? So later on, he helped the guys up, and then they told him the story. So they went on the party. Then the one of the guys, they got all really drunk. I mean, really, really drunk. So one of the guys, the smartest guy, I would say, out of the bunch, the smartest one, he said, you know what, I had enough, I'm going to go home to sleep. So he went to my parents' apartment, had the key, went up, lied in bed, and slept. The other two continued drinking, even more drunk than the first guy. So finally, late enough, we have to go home. They're making their way home, can hardly find a house, but finally they find a house. And now they realize, oh my goodness, the first guy who's sleeping has the key. And they only have one key. So they went around the house, and my dad is a very handy man, so he has all kinds of tools there. So they found a ladder. And like, oh my goodness, we have a great idea. We take the ladder and we're going to put it up and we're going to climb up the balcony. And then hopefully we can wake up the other guy. So they take the ladder, drunk like skunks, put it up on the balcony, trying to climb up. And the first guy is so drunk, he had to be pushed up. And then he falls off the ladder. That was a loud noise. Whoa, boom. But because he's so drunk, he doesn't even feel anything. Blood running down. Never mind. He's all okay. All okay, what? So my dad comes. He helps the two guys. Obviously now he unlocked the door. He helps the two guys bring the one who fell off the ladder up and put them into bed. And he said, you have no idea how difficult it is to actually get someone who is so drunk that he is almost out of it to bring them up the stairs and put them into bed. He said, it's almost impossible. How much more a guy who is totally out of it? You know, it's not like that you can just help him up. You really have to go in there. You have to lift the guy up and put him on the donkey. I can only imagine how difficult it must have been for this guy to take that guy who was robbed and beaten, and the Bible even says he was half dead. Not just a little bruise here, bruise there, blue eye, and that's it. He was out. He was unconscious, but he took him, put him on the donkey, and went all the way to the inn to take care of him. Now he went the extra mile. Not just when it was convenient to help, just say, okay, never mind, you're okay. I'm just going to put a little plaster here and then you're off on your way. No, he took him and he took him to an inn and made sure that he's taken care of. Amen? That is the kind of person that Jesus said, you know what, you go and do likewise. I believe we should go out of our way to help each other. If I can be of help, I have to have the compassion and say, you know what, I want to go and I want to help. Wherever I can be of help, I want to live how this man modeled to live for me. Like Jesus said, go and do likewise. And I believe if we follow that kind of example, we can really make a difference. Amen? That when people look at us and the compassion that we have for others, they would see, hey, there's something different about these people. There's something, not quite sure what it is, but they have love, they have respect, they have compassion for others. And that is by what we should be known as Christians. For the love, for the respect that we have for each other and for people that we don't even know. Amen? Because after all, we have been forgiven much, so we can bless much as well. Amen? And I believe God is looking for people who are like that. Who go out of their way to bless others. Who go out of their own comfort zone to be compassionate with other people. Amen? Can the praise team come, please? Can we all rise to our feet?